Good morning, everybody. First of all, two announcements. Number one, this year is dedicated to the memory of Freda Bas Tzadik Halevi, who was Queenie's sister, Olea Shalom, who died 2 weeks ago. And Queenie got up from Shiva, so on behalf of all of us, we say to Queenie, Amok Minachem Otach B'tov, Sharav Elitzim, V'Yerushalayim Lo Tosifi L'Darba Od. Second, Rabbi Gordon will not give his class tomorrow. He called me this morning to tell me that his brother, Rabbi Jimmy Gordon, passed away this morning in hospital, and there's no information yet with regard to the Levaya, so of course he will not be teaching tomorrow. Rabbi Jimmy Gordon was a familiar and respected figure in Yerushalayim, and we have no information whatsoever. We don't know what time the Levaya is, or where, or what. Whenever that information becomes available, I'm sure the network will begin to let people know. I wanted to give some good news. I don't know, maybe during the course of this year. Chanukah is a very, very popular yontif. Everybody likes Chanukah. The most assimilated Jew marks Chanukah in some way. Not only that, Goyim mark Chanukah. I'm sure we've already seen there have been pictures already of President Bush's Chanukah. Wait till we see an Obama Chanukah. Most probably Chabad of Illinois will have him up on a cherry picker, you understand, lighting a 50-meter high menorah. Wherever you go, everybody likes Chanukah. It's great. Everybody feels connected to Chanukah. We said that already. We made the point that everybody likes Chanukah. Now the question is, why does everybody like Chanukah? Why are you so happy? Oh, because. Why do you like Chanukah? Why do you like Chanukah? Why does everybody like Chanukah? Obviously, if everybody likes Chanukah, there must be a universal element in Chanukah. There must be something that attracts a whole world. Everybody finds something of significance and meaning in this Chanukah. Everybody feels connected. Unfortunately, of course, everybody has their own agenda with regard to Chanukah. Chanukah most probably has been and is more distorted than any Yom Tov that we have. And Hamazel, this poor Chanukah. I was looking at a shiur of Rav Soloveitchik where he brings two examples, and of course we'll most probably be able to find many other examples. There's some article in the Jerusalem Post this morning that I didn't have the time, the patience, or the inclination to read about Chanukah and Christmas in Tel Aviv.
Terrible.
I didn't read the article.
Terrible.
You said that I should read it.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, Chanukah is the Jewish Christmas. I don't think that there's any Christian would call Christmas the Jewish Chanukah. But that's the Nebuch, this is what it is. And the Rav gives two examples that I remember. He writes, in the late 1920s, I happened to pass the Sunday Temple on Johannes Street in Berlin, to which this temple was the temple to which the assimilated Jews of Germany belonged, Jews who genuinely despised the Jewish people. Many of them were members of the League of National German Jews, Verband National Deutscher Juden, and what was their, they were dedicated to the idea of German patriotism and Jewish assimilation. The Chav writes, I noticed that the temple was richly illuminated and decorated for a holiday. I was curious, so I went into the temple. Okay, don't ask me questions over here. All right? He writes, so he says, I went into the temple. I assumed that whatever was happening in the social hall. It happened in the social hall, it was nothing. I went into the temple where I found them having a Hanukkah celebration. The rabbi lit the menorah, all 8 candles, as I remember, and it was the 3rd night of Hanukkah, and then gave a clever speech. The high point of the sermon was that the true heirs of the Hasmoneans of Matityahu and his sons were actually national German Jews. They were the reincarnation of Matityahu of old, who were at that time, these Jews, it's pitiful, Mamash, it's pitiful to read this. At that time they were conducting a campaign to expel from Germany the Ostjuden. The Ostjuden were the Jews from Poland. Those Kaftaned Jews who had infiltrated into Germany. And these fellow Jews, so to speak, were on a campaign to get them out. Oh, little did they know that in 10 years' time, never, they would all be ousted forever. It's unbelievable. The same Hanukkah, the Rav says that he came across another curiosity. The Jewish Community Library on Orienberg Street. I don't know, what did the Rav do? He was supposed to have gone to university. He seems to have been walking the streets of Berlin. And he comes in... he chances upon a copy of a newspaper, a Moscow Yiddish newspaper called Der Emes, the Truth. There was the newspaper of the Yetzetskia. Yetzetskia were the Jewish communists who were Sone Yisrael. Just the same thing like these German, whatever they were. And there was an article there explaining clearly, the first real Jewish communists were Matisyahu Bonov, Yehuda, a Muscovite. You understand? Everybody can do anything that they want with Hanukkah. It's malleable, it's pliable, and therefore everybody loves it. So it must be obviously there has to be some kind of a universal element, something that attracts a whole world to it. And as I say, we're going to be finding, we will find many indications of this during the course of Hanukkah, during the course of every Hanukkah. And I'll tell you one of the things that if you want to get me upset, don't take too much to get me upset, but if you really want to get me upset, you know, when somebody tells me Chag Urim Sameach, I shiver. This Chag Urim bit is some kind of an Israeli secular thing that empties Hanukkah of its Hanukkah-ness. Chag Urim Sameach. Hanukkah represents the idea that Klal Yisrael dedicated the Beis HaMikdash and dedicated themselves to something extremely significant. But now, Chag Urim Sameach is such a parva kind of term. Everybody can like that. So what is it that they like? What is it that they like about Chanukah? Obviously, there's an element to the story that is exciting. We're talking about a major world power, the Greeks. And here, a band of Yidalach go ahead and take on this mighty superpower of the day and vanquishes them. A band of irregulars, guerrillas, not armed well, not organized well, and they're able to take on Greece and bring it to its knees in Eretz Yisrael and reestablish the Jewish commonwealth. That's no mean feat. That's a classic David and Goliath. And everybody gets excited about something like David and Goliath. And we've seen it, you know, Rav quotes the Washington, George Washington. I'm saying George Washington, and we don't really recognize at times what George Washington did, you know. First in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen. Don't shoot till you see the white of their eyes. Give me liberty or give me death. You know, we're talking about the irregular, what are they called? The settlers. The settlers. The settlers are the ones who took on the great British Empire and routed them. Where was it? At Yorktown? Was that the final? I remember a little bit of my history. And then, of course, you know, we go through it. We freeze with George Washington in Valley Forge. What a brave and heroic struggle it was. Hanukkah was also a brave and heroic struggle. And that certainly is something that speaks to everybody. And therefore, everybody can feel tuned in and connected and can identify with it. The question is that the reason for the celebration of Hanukkah? Well, let's begin first with just one quote. I don't think that these were exactly the words of the Rav, but there's one quote here that I like. And I like a lot of it, but we're going to move on to all sorts of other areas. Human logic can reach the greatest absurdities and paradoxes. All right? It can twist facts and elementary truths. We live that here every day. Every day. Okay? We live at a time that staggers the imagination. I don't think a historian is ever going to be able to make heads or tails of a people who seem to be fighting with each other. Who will be the one to commit communal suicide, chas v'shalom? Who will be the father of the Palestinian state? First in peace, first in war, first in terrorism, first in the hearts of his Palestinian terrorists. Everybody is dedicated to the idea of establishing a second state, even though it's a mistake. It'll be a third state. We have one in Gaza, one that chas v'shalom in the Eibishtachopiten in Yehuda v'Shomron, another one Jordan. It's unbelievable. Everybody's going to be the father of Palestinian state. Tzipi Livni wants to be it. Nebuch Olmert is trying desperately until February 10th at 10 o'clock. He is still going to be trying to give away the Golan, give away Yehuda v'Shomron, Kis, Abbas, Ichve. The human logic can reach the greatest absurdities and paradoxes. It can twist facts and elementary truths. Sometimes these twisted thought processes belong to the field of abnormal psychology, to psychiatry and psychopathology. In other words, they are simply madness. Simply madness. You have to understand. You see intelligent people who photograph well and are making all sorts of statements. And there may be moments at which you think, you're the one that's crazy. Let me assure you all, they're crazy. They're crazy. Certified. But I believe, the Rav says, in the correctness of the psychoanalytic perspective on madness. Namely, that madness has its own logic. Yeah? There's mad logic. True, it is an absurd logic, a crooked and false one. But it is nevertheless a logical account and point of departure. That we don't have 40-50% of the people saying Al Chait or Shamnu Bogadnu. We did, and as I always say, the disengagement or the expulsion of 10,000 Jews from their homes may have been motivated by rishus, but there is one thing that's worse than rishus in my eyes, and that's tishus. It was stupid. It was all a lie. It wasn't going to make Israel more democratic or more Jewish. Everything that we right-wing Mishugoyim said was going to happen is happening, and has happened even worse than beyond our worst dreams. We said it would become a base of terror. We said it would become an assault on all of the areas around. We said that they would be bringing in all sorts. We said it all. Not that we're smart. They're stupid. But there must be some logic to that absurdity, and I'm not going to spend any time dealing with that. But I want to find out, is what is indeed the Yontif of Hanukkah? All right. So let's begin the Rambam. Great Rambam. The Bayit Sheni, during the time of the Second Temple. Kishemolchu Yavon Gozru Gezeres HaYisroel, when Yavon ruled, when Greece ruled, they made decrees against the Jewish people. O Gitlu Dasam, and they tried to stop their performing of their religion. Lo Yinichosam Lasev Torah Mitzvahs. They didn't let them study Torah and do mitzvahs. Upashtu Yodam. The Mamayim Ubenotem, and they stretched out their hand against their money and against their daughters. The Nichnasu Lehechol Uportsu Voltratos, they went into the Hechol, the Bet HaMikdash, and they breached the walls, the Timu HaTaharos, and they defiled all the purity. The Tzar Lehem Yisrael Me'ed Nepneem Ulechotzum Lachatz Vado. And Israel was terribly depressed, pressured from before them, and Atche Yichem Aleim Alekei Abateinu, until the God of our fathers had mercy upon them, the Hoshiyam, the Yodam, and saved them from the hands of Yitzilam, and rescued them. The Gavru, the Nechashmanoi, Kohanim HaGadolim, the sons of Chashmanoi, the Kohanim HaGadolim, waxed stronger, the Harogim, and killed them, the Hoshiyam, Yisroel, the Yodam, and saved Israel from their hands, the Nidu Melech, min HaKohanim, and they appointed a king from amongst the Kohanim, the Chozra, Malchus, the Yisroel, Yeter, Al-Matayim, Shana, Ad-Achur, and Asheni, and kingdom. Kingdom returned to the Jewish people for more than 200 years until the Churban of the Beit HaMikdash. Alright. Now, what were they fighting for? What were they fighting for? Most probably the secular Israeli or the secular Jew would say they were fighting. This was a struggle for independence. They wanted political independence. They didn't want to be under the heel of Greece. Nobody is going to rule us in our country except ourselves. And therefore, since we don't want to be ruled by anybody, we are going to cut down the occupier and the invader. So obviously that was not the reason. Why is it so obvious that that was not the reason? Because if so, why are we celebrating Hanukkah? Everything that was accomplished by the Chashmonaim was completely cancelled out 200 years later. It was all over. We lost our independence, and not only that, I'm afraid to say, we lost our independence because of the self-same Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim family are the ones who the last two that were left, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, are the ones that, two brothers, you understand? It's such a lesson for us. We talked about it a few weeks ago in Parsha Panyishlok. Two brothers went out to civil war, fought one another. Jew was killing Jew. And as the Ramban in Parsha Panyishlok said, they invaded Rome into Eretz Yisrael, and we brought the enemy into our midst. Sounds a little bit familiar. Now, it's quite clear for two reasons. It's quite clear that the struggle was not a political struggle. It had nothing to do with independence. Number one, there were 150 years
from the time Jews have come, returned to Eretz Yisrael from the Babylonian exile, that we were under the Persians, the Medes, even Egypt for a period of time, and then finally Greece, and 150 years, and there were great Jews, and there was a great Jewish community, and we were able to survive, I only use the word survive, under the heel of all of these nations. And we were not moved to rebel. So that means, if it would have been political independence that we sought, well, why didn't they do it for the 150 years until the Hasmonoi? And second, if we have to assume that it's because of the political independence that we sought and we achieved, but we lost it. For 2,000 years, we haven't benefited at all from the Kashmonoyim. Nothing. So what do? You celebrate. What do we celebrate? That we got independence for a few years, more than 2,000 years ago, and then lost it? America celebrates the 4th of July, because that same 4th of July continues to inspire Americans, because they are still a free and independent people. Yes, Hashem, that we should continue, as Bias Gael said, that to be able to celebrate our day of independence. But what do we have to do with the independence of the Hashmonaim? It was all lost. Obviously, the answer is very simple. Though not everybody can see it. And this has really been the approach of the Jews throughout all of history. We can live without independence. We can live without independence. It may be difficult, and there are times that we have to pay a price for it, but there were very few times in history that we had the opportunity to throw off the yoke of an oppressor. We were a minority, we were a weak people, we didn't have the means to overcome the powers of Europe for 1,000 years, or the powers of Babel. We were not in a position to do that. So what happened was, the Jew developed an attitude. The Jew developed an attitude. And the attitude was, never, I have to suffer. I have to suffer, so I'll suffer, you know, we'll go through with it. And the Chav very beautifully, he says, you'll take a look at number three is what we say immediately after every Shmona Esrei, a little tefillah, and this prayer comes from Masechet Brachot. The Gemara brings the prayer, Elokai Netzor Leshoni Meida Usfatai Midaber Mima. Oh my God, guard my tongue from evil and my lips from deceitful speech. To those who curse me, let my soul be silent. May my soul be to all like dust. The Rav says, you know what this is talking about? The Jew in Europe. The Jew wherever he was, under the heel of an oppressor. Chances are he would go out into the street and he had to be ready for the idea that some guy is going to give a curse at this Yude and maybe spit at him, and he couldn't really do anything. So you know what? He Jew gets up in the morning and says, who knows what's going to happen during the course of the day? Who knows what kind of anti-Semitism I'm going to come face to face with? So you know what I ask you, Rabbeinu Shalom? Help me guard my mouth. I can't fight with these people. They're far stronger than I am. We are under their domination. So you know what? They're going to be Mekalalite. There are those who are going to curse me. And you know what? I should be able to remain silent. And let me be subdued before them all. And you know what? In a sense, the next part is the attitude that the Jew developed during the course of the Golan. I have a whole different world in which I live. I live in the world of Torah. I live in your world. The world out there can be a very cruel one, but that doesn't have to be my essence. Open my heart to your Torah. Uve mitzotecho tirdof nafshi, my soul.
That same soul, who a sentence earlier said, shall be like dust, but that same soul can grow and pursue Torah. V'chol achoshim alai l'cha, all those who think evil about me, all those goyim out there who are planning who knows what, meheira ha'peratzosom, speedily thwart their counsel, v'kalkeo machshavtom, and frustrate their plans. What a beautiful pshat in this. In other words, sometimes it used to bother me that in this tefillah are we talking about fellow Jews? Fellow Jews? Nah, it's not fellow Jews. We're talking about a goyishe anti-Semitic world out there. So the Jew developed an attitude. The attitude was that, you know, okay, the time will come. The time will come. And Baruch Hashem, that time came in our days when things changed dramatically for the Jewish people. No. And by the way, we're going to see, I see it in the Rambam. Let me tell you where I'm going. You know, I think it's important to know where I'm going. There are those who denigrate completely independence. Independence? Who cares about independence? You know, there are those who find absolutely no significance and no meaning in Yom HaTzmaut, because independence. Who wants independence? On the other hand, there are others who see independence as the ultimate goal of all. I move in a somewhere in the middle over there. Independence is important. If independence would not be important, the Rambam would not have written the last sentence that he wrote in this halacha. In this halacha, and it's a difficult sentence to understand, because the Rambam says, Chozro Malchus Yisrael, they established the king from the Chashmonaim, and kingdom returned to the Jewish people for more than 200 years. In Yiddish they would say, my mother alive would have said, Oh boy! So we got independence, and 200 years later we destroyed it with our own hands. What the Rambam is saying is that the Chashmonaim understood that there would be no accommodation with Greece. There's no way to work a deal with them. That you stay in charge, and we will perform Torah and mitzvahs and do whatever we want. They understood that that's impossible. It will never work with Rome. Because Rome was different than Persia, Greece, and we'll see that in a moment. Greece was different than Rome and Persia and Medes and Egypt. There was something significantly different. And there would be no accommodation. The only way that we could be sure that we would be able to live our lives as Jews was only with independence. And therefore, from that point of view, independence was a necessity. We had to be independent. There was no accommodation. There was no way that we could work out a deal. Why? Because Greece was different than all of the others. Persia couldn't care less if Jews went ahead and studied Torah and performed mitzvahs. Made absolutely no difference to Persia. Not only that, who was the one? Who was the first Nefesh B'Nefesh in history? That was Koresh, king of the Persians, who said to all of the people of Israel, Hashem imo v'yau, let the Revation be with you and go on Aliyah. He granted permission for Jews to go on Aliyah. You understand? He told them, Baruch Hashem and Yirtz Hashem, go on Aliyah. They had no designs on the Jewish faith. It didn't interest them at all. Not so Greece. Greece saw Greek culture and Greek paganism as the be-all and the end-all. And they saw Judaism as its ultimate foe. And therefore, you have to destroy Judaism.
Greece never bothered, Persia never bothered with her. And that's what the Rambam says at the very beginning. The Bayit Sheni, Kishemolchu Yavon. Immediately, at the beginning, Gazru Gzeiros HaYisrael. They're the first ones that issued all sorts of edicts and decrees against the Jewish people, against their religion. Ubiklu Dasam. That's what it was all about. This was the first time that there was an assault on Judaism by an occupier. That we will never tolerate. Even if we are weak, we don't have the means, this we're going to fight. That's the only reason why the Hasmonean took up the battle against Greece. Not for independence. But they understood that only with independence would they be able to practice Judaism. But it was an assault on Shabbos. It was an assault on Taras HaMishpacha. It was an assault on Limud HaTorah. And how many people over here? Michalei Shabbos and Oichlei Kreifers. Ma Oso Yeshua. Everybody's celebrating it. And not only that, I love all Jews. Most Jews. Some Jews. But I remember I learned this song in yeshiva until I grew up one day and I said, Shomu Shamayim, how did they teach me this? I don't want to say the name of the yeshiva. Mi im haleil gvurot Yisrael otam mi im ne. That was a shtick of after courses. They took a pasuk in Tanakh, mi im haleil gvurot Hashem, who can relate the greatness of God, and they turned it into the greatness of Yisrael. Vayaneh ma'en barman azeh makabi moshia ufodeh. The Maccabi is the one who's in the... What are you talking about? That's tefillah. It's ridiculous. The whole... I mean, you read the Al-Anisim right away. The Al-Anisim is completely opposed to that. What are you talking about? What did the Rambam say? And when the Rambam says it, it's a halacha. Achelichem aleim elekei v'teinu, until the God of our fathers had mercy upon them and saved them miyodam and rescued them v'tzilam. So here they go ahead and make this great song that I, as a little kid, learned and loved the song. It's a beautiful song. But it's all tefillah. It's all the rejection of Yiddishkeit. I have to wash my mouth out for all the times that I sang it when I was a little kid. What do you mean, me and Malil, who can retell the might of Israel? Maccabi Moshia Upodet. It's the Maccabi who brings... who redeems and rescues us. Not so. Not true. The Rambam says it clearly, and we're going to see it in the Al-Anisim. The battle was a struggle over Yiddishkeit. And any celebration of Hanukkah that in any way, shape, or form rejects any aspect of Yiddishkeit is false. It's deceit. It's absolutely, it ain't so. What happened was that when Jews saw that their ability to serve God was being impeded, instinctively, for this we fight. When Yaakov Avinu was on his way toward Esav, Parshat Vayishlach, it says that he sent a gift to Esav, min habo biyado, things that he had in his hand, min habo biyado. He sent that to him. Min habo biyado means he had cows and sheep and donkeys and camels. The Chof says, throughout history, we were ready to give our donkeys and our camels and our sheep and our cows. We paid heavily in so many places in Europe and throughout the world to be able to remain. Boy, we paid a great deal in graft just so that we should stay someplace. There was no great heroism on the part of Jews. Even when you wanted a Jew to reject his religion, they went to the stake singing Shema Yisrael. Yaakov is telling Esav, Esav, I'll pay you protection money, I'll give you gifts, but I want you to know something else. In Lavan Garti, and I have the Rashi down there, number 4, in Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan, and Rashi says, Lo nasaiti sarva koshav, I did not become a dignitary or a notable. Eloger, I was always a sojourner. I never... he didn't say, in Lavan yoshavti. No. Yaakov never wanted to settle down with Lavan. Garti, ein chokedai the snowati, it's not even worth hating me. Al birkat avicha, about the blessing of your father. Sheberchani, that he blessed me. Habeikvir lachecho, be a law to your brothers. Sharei lo nitkarmi, before it has not been fulfilled in me. Tovaracha, the Tovaracha in Rashi. Garti has the gematria of Taryag. You know, I always wonder about it. It's not the gematria of Taryag. It is Taryag. It's the same letters as Taryag. In Lavan Garti. So Rashi says, Kloma, he tells Esav, in Lavan Harosha Garti, I lived with Lavan Harosha, v'taryag mitzo shamati, and I kept 613 mitzvahs. V'lo lamadeti min ma'asov ha-ro'im, and I did not learn from his evil actions. So it used to bother me. And then here's Esav Harosha coming with 400 men armed to the teeth, and Yaakov sends him, you know, this great message. Something like, don't shoot to deceive the whites of their eyes. Or what did the American general say to the German general when he wanted him to surrender in the Battle of the Bulge? The famous words, nuts to you. Alright? This is a great American statement. Here it is. The great battle cry of all time, Yaakov sends a message to Esav in Lavan Garti. I lived with Lavan and I kept Taryag mitzvahs. Then said, this is going to shake up Esav. Like, boy, you know, he put on tefillin every day. I'm shivering. I'm trembling before my brother. What did he mean? What did Yaakov mean to me? This is the great statement that will be remembered for all time. In Lavan Garti. Hey, he must be laughing his head off. Now you know what Yaakov is saying? Yaakov is telling him, listen, if you want gifts from me, I'll give you gifts. But don't you ever dare attempt to interfere in my religious life. Because if you attempt that, I will stand up with everything that I have against you. I will never tolerate you. This was the message. That's exactly what the Hashmonaim were. We're an occupied country, so we've been occupied by the Persians and the Medes before. You know what the Greeks did? Nichnasu lehechol. They went into the private domain of the Jew, into his home. It was an assault on the neshama, the inner chambers, the kodesh hakodashim. That was the whole. That's what it was all about. In Lavan Garti, the Taryag mitzvot shamati. Yaakov understood. He knew that in history there will be times that Yaakov is not going to have independence, but there's one thing you can't take from me. You can't take my neshama from me. You can lock me up in solitary confinement, but you can't take my neshama from me. And when they tried to do that, that's when the battle began. Oh, some years ago. This takes me back to West Hempstead. Let's say I'm here for 27 years. Must have been about 35 years ago. It was the week before Pesach. And you know, it was all quiet in all the houses. Why? Because there was one of these blockbuster TV serials 5 nights in a row. A TV show called Holocaust. And there were, It was powerful. Truth is, it was very powerful. But you understand, this is during the week before Pesach. So it's fascinating. I don't usually watch it. I'm a very holy man. I don't usually watch TV, but this has been advertised all over. So we watched. It was amazing. I knew exactly what every member of my community was doing. At the first commercial, the phone rings. Rabbi, how do I cash my oven? Okay? It's the week before Pesach. Another phone call during the commercials. As soon as the program starts again, no phone calls. Everybody back at the TV. Next commercial, Rabbi, is Chametz Kasher with Pesach? No? Okay, finished. Okay. So there was one scene over there that I'm doing tshuva for. One scene that for about 10 seconds, I didn't get it. They have the scene as the Germans are beginning the march into the Warsaw ghetto. And there's one apartment, two rooms. There's one room with a window looking down on the German troops. There are people with guns over there. And in the next room, there's a family sitting down to the Seder. It was Pesach night. And for a few seconds, you know, when they started shooting down at those Germans, and you saw them falling, and the look of terror on their eyes, I'm thinking to myself for a few seconds, what are you sitting by the Seder? Get a gun and go shoot at them! And I've been doing tshuva ever and ever after for that second of a thought. You know why I'm doing tshuva? Because Klal Yisrael knows of two kinds of struggles. There's the spirit of struggle, and there's struggle of the spirit. There is the spirit of struggle. There are those who go out to fight. But maybe the greater struggle is the struggle of the spirit. You start out with the spirit of the Jewish people, boy. Who vanquished Goyim throughout all of history? Not the guys in the first room shooting down. The survival of the Jewish people was because in the darkest of times there were Jews who kept the Seder. That's exactly what the Hashmonaim are all about. Independence? Necessary, but secondary. The revolt did not start because they sought political independence. They wanted to be free from the yoke of Greece. They didn't like the yoke of Greece. They didn't like anybody's yoke. Nobody likes anybody's yoke. But that they would not have gone out to battle when their chances of success were close to nil. What other people were able to start up with a mighty power like that? But once you've entered into my Kodesh HaKodashim, into my Holy of Holies, I have no choice. By the way, this is also true. We said it here, we proved it. You know, they tried to make some kind of a great revolutionary of Rabbi Akiva, Lahavla, Che Guevara, the Chreis. That's not so. No, so Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba, they just wanted to remove the yoke of Rome. No. It was when Jews were no longer able to live as Jews under Rome. The cruelty of Rome was such they didn't want. They also didn't want Jews to fulfill mitzvahs. Then there was no choice. Let's take a look at Alam Nisim. The name Matasio ben Yochanan Koyen Gadol in the days of Yochanan, the high priest. Exactly as the Rambam said it. Kishondo Malchus Yovan Harusha Al Amcha Yisrael Lashkicham Torasecha Ulahavira Mechukur Tzonecha. When the wicked Greek kingdom rose up against your people Israel to make them forget your Torah and to force them to transgress the statute of your will. It was a battle for Yiddishkeit, not a battle for independence. V'yato berachamecha rabin, and you, with your great mercy, your marital and veis rosim, you stood by them at the time of their trouble. Rafto es rivon, danto es dinon, nakantos nikvasam. You championed their cause, judged their claim, avenged their wrong. Masarto, kiperim yad chaloshim. This is it. Not miyamaleil gvurot Yisrael. Not Maccabi Moshia Ufo there. So the Benishon who fights our battles. Tzmein be'atayrim rishon yatzadikim v'zeidim rabbi Yisrael itself. Ulecho sisa shem godo v'kodesh v'olam echa. It's a religious holiday. It's a religious holiday. That's what it's all about. Lam cho Yisrael o sisa tshuva g'delo v'rokan yom v'zeh. V'achakein vo v'anecha. Afterwards, your sons, your children came into your holy temple, ufinu sechalecha, v'tiyavas v'ndeshecha. And so they came into the base of Midrash, timu kol hashmanim. They went ahead and they defiled all the oil. What's it bother you if there's oil there? What do you have to get your fashlug in the hands on all the oil? No, it was an attempt of entering into the Heichal, into the innermost chambers of the Jew, to defile the Jew! To defile the Jew, that's what it wanted to do. That means the following. The Jew developed an attitude toward the non-Jew oppressor. The attitude was, if you don't attempt to wean me away or tear me away from my religion, I'll tolerate you. I'll even pay you tribute. Otherwise, I'm going to stand up and fight. Where did it all go back to? In a sense, where did it all begin? So there's a very, very beautiful, as usual, when it comes toward the end of this year, I feel like I'm not going to make it. But I'm going to try and make it. Rashi says it a few places in Chumash that Yaakov Avinu, when Esav wanted to kill him, so his parents told him, go to Padan Aram, go to the house of Lavan. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, vayele Choron, and Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, he went to Choron. So Rashi, in a few places in Chumash, tells us that there was an interruption of 14 years. And Rashi makes the cheshbon that according to how old Yaakov was, that there were 14 years someplace that were not accounted for. Yosef was separated from his father for 22 years because Yaakov was separated from his parents for 22 years, but those 22 years counted the years in the house of Laban, but that doesn't add up to his the age of Yaakov and the age of Yitzhak. I'm not going to go into the calculation now, we'll go into the calculation now, we'll get all mixed up, but believe me, Rashi says in a number of places that he was Nitvan in the house of Aver. And according to some, it was the house of Shem the Eva. He went off to the Beis Medrash, the yeshiva of Shem the Eva, and he learned there for 14 years. And for that, Yaakov was never punished. He didn't lose Yosef for another 14 years. So I now want to know why. Take a look. So there's one Rashi, I don't have it in the sheet. There's one Rashi where Rashi says that Vayishka Bamakom Hahu, when he came that night and he slept on the rocks, Vayishka Bamakom Hahu, he lay down at that place, and then Rashi says that place he lay down to sleep. But the 14 years that he was in the house of Shem Ve'eva studying Torah, then he didn't lie down. He sat by the Gemara and he slept. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks the following question. Yaakov, until he was age 15, learned by Zayda Avram. After Zayda Avram died, Yitzchak taught him Torah. That's a Befeirush. Rambam says it very clearly. Yitzchak taught Torah to Yaakov. I mean, How much more Torah do you have to learn? You learn from the greatest. The two greatest Rosh Yeshiva in the world were Avraham and Yitzchak. What do you have to go running off to the some Beis Medrash of Shem David? What did you learn in the house of Shem and Eva? So 14 years you're off over there. And the Rav Yaakov gives the following example. A father sends a child to the makola. Go get me a chveis, a bissel milach and a bissel breit. And the boy's going to decide that he's going off to yeshiva for 14 years. And 14 years later he comes walking in. I hope he picked up the milk and the bread after the 14 years of yeshiva. No, you have a mitzvah kibbutz. Your father and your mother, both of them told you, go to Padan Aram. So you should go to Padan Aram, to the house of Lavan. And no, you don't go to Lavan, you go off someplace in yeshiva. What kind of business is this? Why shouldn't he be punished for that? So Rav Yaakov develops a very fascinating idea. The idea is, there's something that they specialized in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'eva. Shem had been raised in a world that had become completely corrupt. Dor HaMavul, the Dor of the Flood. Wherever you went, there was evil. And he remained Shem. He remained Shem. That takes a tremendous amount of wisdom, strength, courage, guile. Eva was raised in the Dor HaPlaga, the Tower of Babel, a world that intellectually had gone mad, a rejection of God, philosophically, intellectually, logically, illogically. They're going to wage war with God. Eva was raised in that kind of environment, and he survived it. Rabbi Yaakov says, the curriculum, Shem Ve'eva 101, was to give the student the ability to withstand the temptation and the power of an alien environment. Yaakov is the first of the Avos who has to go off into an alien environment. They're all corrupt by Laban. Everybody in that city knew that he's going to be marrying Leah, not Rachel. Not a soul, nobody told. They were all thieves, they were all liars. And Yaakov has to survive in that kind of an environment. He understood no way he's going to do it unless he makes his way to the house of Shem Ve'eva. He needs to learn how to stand up against the temptations of a whole society there. And he learns it. And that's why he's able to come back 22 years later and tell Esav, at the same time that he's sending cows and donkeys and camels and all sorts of things to him, but he also sends him a message. You have to know the rules of engagement. If all you want is my independence, okay, we'll give you horses and cows and calves and donkeys and mules. But if you want to move into the inner sanctum of the Jew, I'm telling you in love and guarantee, the Tariyat Mitzvah Shemarti, I was able to withstand, and I know how to wage war with you. I learned it well. I'm a graduate of the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. That's the one thing that Abraham couldn't teach him, and Yitzchak certainly couldn't teach him. Yitzchak had never been in a hostile environment. Yitzchak never went out of Eretz Yisrael. And even when he found himself in a hostile environment, they threw him out. They expelled him. Leich mi imonu Avimelech tells, go from here, kiratzam tum imenu miyod. You are mightier and stronger than we are. The story of Chanukah is the story of the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. And the story of the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva means that if we have to go to war and risk our lives
in order to be able to fulfill Torah mitzvahs. That's exactly what the Jews want to do. And more than that, if the Jew has to give his life, he will give his life to. And then the survival of the Jewish people, I'm not the one who was appointed by God to make sure the Jewish people survive. That's God's business. That's God's business. So what I'm saying is the following. I'm saying that the rebellion did not begin, the Hanukkah rebellion did not begin because of a lack of political independence. And nothing to do with that. It was an assault on Yiddishkeit. And the battle was a battle for Yiddishkeit. But I also said that one cannot underestimate the significance of independence. You can't denigrate that, as I have seen those who do it. You can't do it. Number one, my first proof, the one I said to you already, is that the Rambam says in such festive manner, Chozra ha-Malchus in Yisrael, Yetra ha-Motayim Shona, Malchus, kingdom, independence returned to Jewish people for more than 200 years. And then one day, as I innocently walked through Harnov, a woman passes by in a car and she rolls down the window and she says, I had given one of my Zionist shiurim that I used to give in the old days, you know. I may be the last, not too many Zionists left anymore. But in the old days, it was one of my rah-rah-rah Yom Ha'atzmaut celebrations, speeches. I had a few good ones. They were pretty good. This woman drives by, she says, but Rabbi Gold, Rabbi such and such said that independence is not important, independence doesn't mean anything. And proof, when Ezra came back to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't make an Independence Day. So I said, what are you talking about? They did! Number six, it wasn't the wee hours of this morning that I remembered these two psukim in Nehemiah. This is part of a great tefillah by Ezra. It's a long tefillah, powerful. And this is the end. In the middle of the top line, Hinei anachnu hayom avodim. This is at the beginning. They've returned now. They're in the process of building the walls of Yerushalayim. They're protecting themselves from the enemy without. Hinei anachnu hayom avodim. Today we are slaves. This is 150 years before the Chashmonaim. The land that you gave to our fathers, lechol at piria v'tuva, to eat its fruit and its goodness. We are slaves in this land. And but you know what? Where does this abundance go to? It goes to those kings who rule over us because of our sins. Thou dvioseinu moslim, and they rule over our bodies. Uber behenteinu, and our animals kiritzonam. We're not free. We're not independent. Uber tzoro gedola amachdu. And we are in a great time of trouble. What's Ezra talking about over here? Ezra is talking about the fact that we are physically enslaved to another people. We are not independent. So I told this woman, I told her, well, what did they do the moment that they did gain their independence? What did they do? 150 years later, they made an 8-day Hanukkah to say Hallel, a whole Hallel for 8 days. They couldn't do it before because they never threw off the yoke. They were always avodim. They were always enslaved to some power. When is the first moment at which they were no longer enslaved? Hanukkah. And for that they said Hallel. So they said Hallel, number one, for their political independence, yes, though that was not the reason why they went out to war. It was because of Yiddishkeit that they went out to war, but they understood that the two are inextricably intertwined. It won't work any other way. With Greece, as with others, it just won't work. If we're not independent, we will not be able to serve
the Rabbeinu Shem as we see fit. Alright, you know what, we'll leave the list. When's the last day of Hanukkah?
Monday.
What's the good news?
I said there's good news? I asked, is there any good news? You know what the good news is? That we're here gesunte heit, and whatever they elakai nitzor l'shoni mera l'nekalalai nashi pidon, and ultimately utu etzu v'tufa davru dovav lo yokum, the relation is going to be with us, and yes Hashem, as it was by yonim ahein, it will be bazman ha-zeh. Okay. Just for a moment, somebody wants to...